I'm Annette Critchlow, and this month in Naked Neuroscience, we'll be opening our minds with a special Q&A show. We'll be discussing treatments for depression.
So for the first time in my life, I took antidepressants. You know, it felt like I'd been a car that had something wrong with the engine, and it was kind of dragging along the road, and someone had fixed it, and it was just rolling really beautifully.
Discovering how we can change our behaviour for the better.
Some research a little while ago saying that a new habit takes about 82 days to form. So actually, you know, we can be patient with ourselves as things get going. It's not instant.
And divulging tricks to help you lose those extra pounds.
You sit in front of the telly and eat food. You don't realise quite how much you're eating. You don't attend to it, and you don't feel full so quickly.
We've had stacks of great questions in from you and accrued a brainy panel to tackle them. They are...
I'm Dr. Roger Kingerley. I work in Norfolk and Suffolk NHS Trust as a clinical psychologist with a particular research interest in male psychological health.
My name is Liz Fraser. I'm an author and broadcaster, and I have recently set up the website inmyheadcase.com to completely change the face of mental health.
Martin O'Neill, and I use basic neuroscience techniques to investigate decision-making mechanisms.
I'm Katie Manning, and I'm a PhD student here at Cambridge in the Department of Psychiatry, and I use MRI imaging to look at connectivity in the brain.
And with them, we'll be finding out why chocolate helps to boost happiness. We'll be stumping scientists with the question, is there such a thing as free will, or is life all predetermined? And have you ever heard or seen things that other people don't? So experienced a hallucination. Apparently 10% of the population do. And we'll be discussing the case of a musician who hears music when he's nodding off to sleep. First up, though, David Bailey got in touch asking, why are brain conditions and mental health problems so common? In children, there's been a 25-fold increase in autism diagnosis over the last 20 years. Now, one in every 100 primary school children will be affected in the UK, whilst one in every 20 school children will have a diagnosis of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. And it's not only children. Overall, the percentage of adults diagnosed with mental ill health has steadily increased. The best estimates today suggest that one in four people in the UK will experience a problem every year, with 10% of the population affected by, for example, depression or anxiety. So is it just that we're better at recognising conditions and seeking help? Or could something about today's society be to blame? First up, Roger.
Well, we know from the statistics you've already mentioned that all of our families and all of our workplaces, we're going to have people around us who have these issues if we haven't got them ourselves. If we go back evolutionarily, one of the things we know is that life is always very challenging and potentially very stressful. So right from the word go, we've always faced a lot of different threats in the environment. And threats can produce stress in all sorts of different ways. And we know that stress is a big driver of psychological issues of all kinds. And then to come back to the present, of course, especially since the recession, since around 2007, 2008, well, most people, most families, at least in the UK, often work harder.
And is there anything that we can do to try and help protect ourselves against this increasing mental health problem?
There's a huge amount we can do. So whether that's giving ourselves a little more time to look after ourselves, whether it's doing things like using relaxation techniques or increasingly meditation techniques, so much is known about how to protect ourselves.
It is fairly destigmatised now. I think, you know, people are not frightened anymore. They still are, but less so, to put their hand up and say, you know, I'm not dealing with things very well. I'm not coping very well. We have to be so careful when we talk about increase in the numbers of cases of things. Is it just because we're reporting it more? Why would we be reporting it more? Because the knowledge is out there, so we know much more about it. Therefore, we're reporting it more. Therefore, there is more diagnosis, and therefore, there is more prescriptions. I don't agree with that. I think that the evidence seems to suggest that they are, in fact, increasing. And what you were talking about earlier about stress. And it's funny because people often say, well, you know, life is easy. You know, we're not at war. We're not, you know, there aren't the sort of the daily manual struggles that people used to have. But actually, one of the things that we know causes a lot of, I suppose, stress and unhappiness in people is a difference between expectation and reality. And so I think so many people now
are not living the normal life path that they perhaps expected to live. That sort of very traditional, grow up, you know, get a job, get married, have a house, you know, which is maybe not crazy, but at least it has a stability. And because that perhaps boring, but at least stable framework, it just doesn't exist for so many people, the levels of stress are really on the increase. And as you quite rightly said, stress then causes all of these problems.
And just to point out, it's well known that social support can be really important as a buffer against stress, against psychological issues, perhaps even against physical issues as well. So that's something else we can do, is actively seek out support.
Well, although there's still a stigma that surrounds mental health, there's now more options and availability of support, particularly with things like autism, when a child can be diagnosed and that diagnosis opens up the availability of various forms of support, whether that be in education or outside of education. That now getting that diagnosis is actually important in terms of getting the help for somebody's child, whereas in the past, if that was just a stigmatising diagnosis, then that was perhaps something to shy away from.
I think from a basic neuroscience perspective as well, you know, we've come to appreciate just how intricately designed the brain is. You know, we have billions of neurons with billions of connections between neurons, billions of chemicals. So it's actually perhaps not that surprising, you know, that when there's a little glitch in the system, there can be these profound effects on mental processes, emotional processes, you know. And I think that sort of appreciation helps as the destigmatization as well, and is what's almost making mental disorders seem like they're becoming more common, but perhaps not. Perhaps they've always been around, but we're just, you know, more willing to accept them now and address those issues.
And there's another area of neuroscience that's really kind of gaining a lot of information and also momentum, and that's the neuroscience of resilience. So how we can become more resilient to these stresses and how we can maintain a flourishing and happy mind and society as well.